Braun Strowman gets surgery, The Miz turns face, and we get to watch grown men hit each other with turkey. All of that and more starts right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
This is the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me, and happy Thanksgiving, belated Thanksgiving, to those of you who celebrate, which I would think the majority of us are, right? And so belated happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Happy belated Black Friday as well. I'm recording this on a Saturday, November 24th, 2018. In the evening, so hopefully you guys got some shopping done. If you're like me, though, every year you say you're not going to shop at the last minute, and what do? Yeah, that's me. I'm that guy that's scrambling the last week before Christmas, and every year I'm going to say I'm not going to do it, and every year I do it. I need to stop procrastinating on that. I don't know. You know, at 33 years old, you think get my act together at this point, and in some areas I have, but not when it comes to Christmas shopping and getting things done ahead of time with that. So maybe that'll be my New Year's resolution this year. So again, guys, thank you for joining me. And as I alluded to at the very top of the show, there's more than just three stories to talk about here. Yes, The Miz turned face. Yes, Braun's getting surgery. And yes, we have another turkey fight to get to, which I'm going to open the show with in just a minute. But if you haven't joined me before, and I know I have a lot of new listeners as I look at the demographics and places where this show is being listened to, so I know there are new people out there, new ears listening to the show. So I want to, first of all, welcome you who haven't heard me before, and I want to say a sincere thank you, because this is a show that is, I think, one of the more passionate wrestling shows out there. There are a zillion wrestling shows out there, but this one, I believe, my passion comes through. It doesn't feel like it's some just ranting about nonsense. I feel like I have come from a place of really watching the product for so long that I can speak about things in an intelligent way when it comes to WWE. Other topics, not so much. But when it comes to WWE, I think for the most part, I have my stuff together. So thank you for those who have given me a try, for those of you who have been with me for years. Thank you as well. So as always, you can follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. But don't forget to add a underscore between each word, because somebody has the WWE Podcast on Twitter and have all about, like, what, 10 followers. So it's I just wish we could somehow bump these people. And we get like priority or something for usernames that actually matter and people are utilizing. But again, follow me on Spreaker, follow me on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, anywhere you have a podcast app. This is where you will hear this show. It is everywhere, and on Patreon.com. That's Patreon.com/WWE Podcast. And the reason I bring that up is because you can get this show ad free with exclusive member-only shows for just, wait for it, $1 a month as a Black Friday sale that I have bestowed upon you. I am now doing $1 a month for the foreseeable future. I don't know how long I'll run it, but at least through at least probably next week, $1 a month, and it gets you a 30-day run of the show ad-free with exclusive shows that are only available to members. So please give me a try if you want to check out the site. I really would appreciate it. So let me start off with, and trust me, guys, I'm not going to harp too long on SmackDown Live, because overall it was a complete joke. So I'm going to get through some of the more entertaining, I guess. I know that many of you have told me that I guess you enjoy the rants that I have, and they're not manufactured. They're not done to get pops and ratings. These are legit angry rants that I have about the product, and I'll always love the product, but these are things that I just have to get off my chest when it comes to WWE and some of their just... And you know what? When I say WWE, I really am pointing the finger at Vince McMahon for this one. Their attempts at humor every year when it comes to Thanksgiving or when it even comes to 4th of July, they have to have some kind of awful holiday theme show. And Christmas isn't absolved of this either, because there's always a Christmas tree, right? Or gifts on the on stage and on the ramp, or you know, they have them somewhere, and inevitably you'll have at least three stars wrestlers in their promos reference gifts as really beatings to their opponent. It's just without fail every year. It's usually terrible, or they'll throw those gifts at each other, and really they're just empty, you know, UPS boxes. So, but back to Thanksgiving, and this is the biggest offender. 4th of July has had some terrible, terrible picnic fights, some picnic food fights. Like, you know, they're in a middle school cafeteria. This was, I mean, it's up there too. This past Tuesday night on SmackDown Live with The New Day versus The Bar, and you have Big Show out there, which what the hell is Big Show doing out there? That's another story, but... you have Big E referencing breasts and then licking the turkey, and then you have him hitting people in the head with turkey, and then you have Cesaro just getting embarrassed out there with cranberry sauce and gravy and all these just different Thanksgiving foods. It's embarrassing. These are the moments that make you cringe as a wrestling fan. These are the moments that you hope that when you have people over that aren't wrestling fans, aren't sitting with you during this crap, because they will get up and leave. I mean, really, it's that bad. I don't understand. You know, I'm sure you have a corporate, the corporate type sit down with me from WWE. They would say, well, we're serving more than one master. It's not all about the older generation fan that lived through the Attitude Era. Okay, great. I get it. You're serving more than one master. You are the entertainment of all. But explain to me what demographic were you trying to target with this nonsense that happens every year? What demographic? Is it the demographic of only having the initials of VM? Maybe? Vince McMahon. I mean, because that's where this comedic, and when I say comedic, I am saying that very loosely, this comedy relief segment, as far as who it's directed to, I mean, that's only coming from the brain of one man. You have this, the gravy Thanksgiving, the first ever Thanksgiving feast fight or whatever nonsense they want to label it as. And then you had also Drake Maverick less than a week earlier pee his pants. I mean, this points back to one man and one man only, who I said last week froze his sense of humor at the age of 8. And even then, like I said, I don't even know what demographic they were shooting for here, because even if you have younger kids watch this, some of them still may say that's stupid. I mean, I would bet the majority of them would not enjoy it. I really do. I really believe that. I know at the demographic they were targeting, if I was that old watching this, I would probably be engaged watching it, because it's not because it's good, but because it's so stupid. And you know what makes, who's the real casualty here? Yes, the fans feel stupid, okay? You feel like an idiot for watching this crap because it's not entertaining. It's taking away from the product that you're trying to watch as a whole. And then, you know, you have these world-class athletes hitting each other with turkey and gravy, and it just stuff it. It's, I don't understand it. It's beyond eye rolling. It makes me hate to be a WWE fan. I don't know what the purpose this serves. It's not comedy. And then you have them, the New Day dress up in pilgrim outfits. Don't even get to the racial implications of that. I mean, I don't, I'm not following. I don't understand. They just said, well, I don't know. I mean, hey, guys, listen. You know, we have to have a Thanksgiving match every year. You know, we have to have some kind of nonsense, some kind of food fight every year, guys. So, you know, let's put the New Day in there. And, you know, let's make everybody look like fools. You know, you guys trained to be here all your lives, and you stay in phenomenal shape and sacrifice your time away from your families and friends, you know, 300 days a year. But, you know, this, guess what? Tonight, you guys are going to dress up as pilgrims. You're going to slap each other around with food, and everyone's going to get a good belly laugh. And meaning, when I say belly laugh, one man in the back with a headset on. That's who it's directed to, and it's awful. I don't know how anybody doesn't come to Vince McMahon and say, hey, listen, Vince, do we have to do this crap every year? Do we have to? Just because it's a holiday? Why? Why do we need to do this like I'm sitting in a middle school cafeteria? I mean, really, that's what it feels like. I feel like a fool for watching this. It makes me feel stupid. All right. That's enough of that. You guys, I think, get the gist of how I feel about the turkey feast food fight nonsense. And if you want to hear an even better rant than this, go to Taz's show. And this is a free plug for the guy because I like his show. I think he's an intelligent guy. It's a explicit show. So those of you that have family-friendly audiences, you may want to mute it, wait till the kids are gone or whatnot. But if you go to the Taz show on really anywhere, I think it's available. He has an awesome rant on this SmackDown Live episode. It was terrible. So let's move on to, though. I do have good things to say. I'm going to get back to SmackDown Live, which it was a train wreck in and of itself. But let me just kind of slide in a little bit of positivity here because this show needs it right now. I enjoy right now, and I think WWE should be commended. See, I can also praise them for the success of the Dean Ambrose heel turn. He's not getting the cool, you're awesome as a heel, so we like you. You're doing such a good job making us hate you, but you're so entertaining that we're going to cheer you. No, Dean needs to be commended. WWE's staff and production, everybody needs to be commended right now for the success so far, and it's only a couple weeks in, of the Dean Ambrose heel turn. He's not getting cheered. He's not getting that cool factor heel turn cheer that WWE has been known for. It is just what the reaction that you want, you're getting from the Dean Ambrose turn. And I love it. Basically on Monday night, the whole theme for Monday Night Raw was Seth trying to track down Dean and finally gets him. I mean, we've seen this storyline 100 times if you look back over the years. But I thought it was, I mean, it was enough to keep me engaged. It wasn't one that I'm going to write home about, but it was, I think, well done, solid, as far as the weaving it through the entire show and keeping a main storyline going and keeping you engaged. When's he going to find him? He's going to finally find him. He's going to finally find him. And you know that he's going to eventually find him at the end of the show. I mean, they're not going to give it away at 10 o'clock. They're going to wait till 11, and that's fine. And so he finally gets him, gets Dean out there, and Seth and Dean brawl, and Seth gets the upper hand. And what does Dean do? He Shinsuke Nakamura's it, and low blows Seth Rollins. And I thought that's a heel move. I liked it. And then gives him dirty deeds. I thought it was good. Earlier in the night, you had Ambrose telling the camera that Roman got what he deserved. I liked that. I know people, and I don't understand this. And there's a podcast out there it's well respected. I like the podcast, and I think that it's one of the longest running. And you could probably figure out which one it is, or may or may not be. I don't want to give them free advertising, but that podcast and others have been talking about how this has gone too far. They're exploiting Roman's cancer. Oh my God, this is a real life scenario. They don't need to do this. This is insensitive. Even if they got Roman's approval. Well, what about that? That's great. You got Roman's approval, but what does it make the audience feel like when they're pulling in a real life scenario, real life disease that almost everybody can relate to and have been affected in some way? couple things I would say to that. Number one, this society is just so hypersensitive. So hypersensitive. Look at how many times has WWE exploited things that on surface you go, oh my God, why would they do that? But yet it worked, I think. They exploited a couple. Number one, Punk and his, when you have Punk versus Jericho at WrestleMania a few years ago, probably more than that now, right? 5 years ago plus, you had Jericho and CM Punk, and Jericho dumped liquor or rum all over Punk, and, you know, Punk is straight edge. And then you had Paul Bearer die, and then Punk was disrespecting Paul Bearer's urn. And then you had Eddie Guerrero die, and Ray and Randy, who are incidentally in a program now, fight over the custody of his son. It was all this stuff. I don't know. I loved it. I don't know. And you may say, well, yeah, they did that in the past, but that doesn't mean it worked. Did it? I think it worked. I don't know why people are so damn offended by things that are. You know what the problem is? I think that the fantasy land has such fantasy elements in it that when you bring something real in, people go, whoa, 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 wait, no, 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 no. I don't want to feel engaged. I don't want to take anything real and pull it into the fantasy environment so that I may believe that there's a little real and feel uncomfortable. This hypersensitive society needs to sit down, shut your mouth, and relax. I don't understand why everybody has to be so damn offended and uncomfortable by something that is pulled from the real world that everybody can relate to. And I agree with that argument. Yes, everybody can. I think it's a horrible disease. I'm not. If somebody out there is thinking that I am advocating for cancer, I mean, come on. No, I'm advocating for wanting to be engaged in a story. I'm advocating for wanting to care and go, oh my God, like, are they really bringing this in? And people talking about it. I think that's awesome. I think that's gutsy. I think it's great. I think it's engaging people and getting people to talk just like I'm talking about it right now. It's awesome. I love it that they, and not only have they mentioned it once, and not only did they do it on the night that Roman Reigns announces leukemia diagnosis, but they continue to do it. That's what's great. They continue to just mention it. It's not the main focus, nor should it be with Rollins and Dean, but it is mentioned. It's a reminder every single week. And I am just, whoever's in charge of this and giving the sign off on it, I would say, good for you. Everybody else who's so damn sensitive and say it's in bad taste. Really? Oh, really? Is this the first thing WWE has done that has been in bad taste? When you look at the grand scheme of how bad some of the things they've done, and this is, I mean, you look at the pre-PG era, the TV-14 era, look at Katie Vick when Triple H was in the funeral home. Look at Kane when he used a jumper cable to put it on Shane's testicles. I mean, look at this stuff, the violence that they had against women, which, that's a whole other topic for a whole other day. But think of the things that they've done. And you're telling me that they mentioned cancer and it's supposed to be offensive? And you're supposed to feel uncomfortable? Oh, well, sit down. Let me tuck you into bed and make sure you have some nice warm milk that'll help you fall asleep and grow up. Grow up. Grow a set. This is the real world. And if you can't handle a fantasy environment that brings in a real element, grow up. I mean, that's what I have to say about that. It's just, I don't know. It's seriously, I think cancer is terrible. But if you're going to be offended by something that is brought in a fantasy environment to make it a little more real and engaging and people talking about it, and you don't like that, sit down and change a channel. Go watch Looney Tunes, okay? Go watch Paw Patrol. I don't know. Go do something that is just non-offensive that you can just feel good about all the time. Oh, God. So the other thing I would want to praise WWE for is staying the course with Ronda Rousey despite the boos at Survivor Series. I was concerned that they might have a bit of a knee-jerk reaction with Ronda at SummerSlam, Survivor Series. And they might have decided to go heel, but I'm glad they didn't, because this journey, this babyface journey for Ronda is not yet done. The heel turn, when it happens, and it will, look out. That heel turn for Ronda is going to be hot. It's going to be nasty. And I think Ronda's going to be great at it. And she's got a built-in storyline. Why? Because she is coming from the world of MMA. She's the baddest bitch on the planet. And she's coming in to an environment where she's dominated. And she keeps knocking them down, getting cocky about it, getting arrogant. And you're going to want to see somebody just knock her off her perch and whoop her ass. And it's going to happen. I think that they are starting to see the babyface run on with Rousey crack a little bit. I think the foundation of it has cracked. I think that the structure is overall sound. But it took a hit. And it brought attention to, can Ronda be heel? And the answer is, oh, hell yeah. So I'm looking forward to the heel turn, but not yet. I think she still has some money to be made as a babyface. And I think that she will continue to be so through at least WrestleMania and maybe not beyond. Maybe not. We'll see. But I enjoyed Ronda getting on the mic and not trying to talk about avocado toast and whatever all weird millennial thing that she's trying to diss, even though she's a millennial herself. She seems to be a little more comfortable, but I don't stay the course. I'm agreeing with it. Stay babyface. And, that's fine with me for now. So, now let's back to SmackDown Live. One more thing about SmackDown Live, as far as the negativity, and I don't like to jump on this bandwagon. People thrive on negativity, and that's really twofold. It's 1A, 1B here. One is the Miz turning face. I don't have a problem with Miz turning face. I have a problem with him asking Shane to be his partner, and then he loses to the Bryant brothers. What? I mean, why is Shane being involved as a centerpiece of the show from a competitor's perspective? He wins the World Cup. I went on a little bit of a rant like this last week, but it continues to happen. He's been a survivor in the Survivor Series match a couple years in a row now. Faces Undertaker, faces AJ Styles at WrestleMania. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. To me, I can see Shane turning heel, and I hope they turn him heel. As if WWE hasn't had enough heel turns this year. I don't know. I'm tired of seeing Shane, and I'm tired of seeing The Miz get... Well, I'm not tired of seeing The Miz get buried, but he got buried here. Okay? He got basically crapped on after having a hot few months, gets in a small package, beat by the Bryant brothers. Shane just laughs. Ha ha, everybody's laughing. It's nonsense. Nonsense. Add to that SmackDown Live got, I know say in quotations because the pre-show doesn't count, but they got swept by Raw at Survivor Series 6-0. And there's no consequences? No rebound? Just a turkey fight? I mean, what? Why? How is there nothing? There's no consequences. So how are we supposed to care about this awful rivalry to begin with if there's no repercussions? There's no changes. There's nothing. Nothing but turkey and cranberries. And The Miz getting rolled up by no one. I don't understand this. It's maddening. It's maddening. So, one more thing about it. And I did say one more thing, but as I keep looking at my notes, I keep seeing things that I've written very aggressively, if you could see my handwriting. Charlotte. Boy, she did not have the best opening segment of the night. And so what I don't understand is she face? Is she heel? Is she a tweener? Am I not supposed to care? It's just a star. There's just a reaction. And I'm just drinking the corporate Kool-Aid crap. I don't know. I don't know where they're going with Charlotte. I don't think they know. Maybe that's why we didn't get a clear direction. And why I say that we don't know is because she was saying that she did it for Becky. But she was a sore loser. And I don't know where they're going with this, because if they're trying to recreate what happened with Becky at SummerSlam with Charlotte, I think they're going to be sadly mistaken. You can't do that twice. You can't manufacture an organic turn by the fans. That's an oxymoron. It can't be organic if it's manufactured, right? So don't do it. If the fans are going to see through it. It's nonsense. I think Charlotte's a badass, but to me, her best, most comfortable persona is when she came in originally as a heel. And her heel persona, being the queen, being arrogant, basically thinking she's above everybody else, that's what I like. When she was disparaging her father and disowning her dad, like, I loved that. I loved it. And then she just magically turned babyface and we're all supposed to love her. She never felt quite comfortable. She hasn't found her voice on the mic yet. She just feels so robotic. She doesn't have great delivery yet. She's not terrible on the mic. She just hasn't found her flow. I don't know if it's because maybe she's not working with the writers closely enough, or maybe she just doesn't know what she should say. She's still a work in progress on the mic, and that's clear. And look, she is one of the best athletes in the ring. That's not the problem. The problem is her personality. Like, what exactly are you, Charlotte? I don't know. I don't know what to do with you, because we all love Becky, and Becky hopefully comes back sooner than later. She's saying she's doing it on behalf of Becky, and they also put in the Iconics, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, and she taps one, and the other one gets counted out, she gets disqualified. So that's good. They didn't bury them completely, but I don't know. I mean, you also have Ronda, who has a good case of wanting to hunt down and find Charlotte, which when she said that she's going to somehow find Charlotte, I tweeted this out. Well, yeah, look, I don't think the SmackDown Live schedule is top secret, and the security in their building, any WWE event, isn't exactly top notch if you can have, what, 7 female superstars invade Raw the previous couple of weeks. And you have, obviously, Enzo Amore show his face, and oh, God, that's just a mess. I feel bad for the guy on that. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if I don't know if it's desperation. And if anybody saw that picture of Big Cass, by the way, on some independent show, looks like he gained a good 30, 40 pounds. I don't know you couldn't say it's a camera angle either. Not good for these guys. But look, back to the point at task at hand here is Charlotte. And I don't understand where they're going. And as I said, maybe I don't think they do either. And I think that was clear that they don't know. They don't know. So maybe they're just trying to see if Becky's going to be ready in time to come back. Because let me tell you this. You can't have two women with the same type of turn and personality on the show. It's going to water down Becky. I think it will. And you know, Becky's the original, and Becky was the organic turn by the fans going against the grain. And WWE said, oh, yeah, well, yeah, let's go with this. And have it trying to do the same exact thing with Charlotte. Not going to happen. Because people went on the journey with Becky. People were there every step and every up and down and misbooking and mistreatment of her storylines. And just her just natural charisma to... You have Charlotte, who kind of came in and shot to the top relatively quickly and has been women's champion several times and afforded the opportunities way more than Becky. So to have this story be told by Charlotte in mirroring the Becky turn, I think is going to blow up in their face. And she may end up getting booed. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. It's crazy, craziness. So one other good thing, though, on SmackDown, I'll end with a good thing from SmackDown, is Daniel Bryan and his promo. I think it was good. Not just good, very good. Legendary? No, but very good. This man knows how to cut a promo. I'm sure he's excited to finally turn heel. He said the old Daniel Bryan is dead. He talked in the third person. That's a Oh, I mean, think about anybody that does that. How annoying is it when someone speaks in the third person? I mean, you could point to The Rock, but The Rock did it in a charming, legitimately funny way. The Rock is different. When Daniel Bryan speaks about Daniel Bryan, it's annoying. It's annoying, like you're too cool to say me or I, and that the old Daniel Bryan's dead and the new Daniel Bryan is here, and it's great. So if he continues to talk in the third person, I think that could get over as far as heat. Not in a cool way, but heat. So I like it. He also, you know, said the Yes Movement is dead. Very cool. Like that too. And just his new body language. His body language is, the words are great. His delivery is great. But the body language is on another level that I haven't seen from him since his return. And I love it. I love it. I hope Daniel Bryan holds that belt for the foreseeable future. I have a feeling that WWE probably won't keep him on it, keep him with that belt past WrestleMania, but you never know. I think if this heel turn really catches on, this could stick, and we'll see. With AJ Styles and contract negotiations with the WWE, maybe that's why they put the belt on Bryan as a fail-safe in case the negotiations fell through or they couldn't come to an agreement, whatever. But I enjoy the Daniel Bryan, the heel Daniel Bryan right now. I really am. And if I went to a live event, I don't know if I'd cheer him because he's a cool heel. I think I'd actually boo him. It's a very unlikable version of Daniel Bryan that we're getting to see. And I'm going to enjoy every second. I really am in a love-to-hate-you kind of way. The last item that I want to bring up here is the Braun Strowman elbow injury. After Baron Corbin hit him with the stairs on the elbow, Braun Strowman just needed elbow surgery. He's got some bone spurs. They clear it up, and they're hoping that he can be back in time for TLC to face Braun Strowman or to face Baron Corbin, and then move on to the Royal Rumble to face Brock Lesnar for the WWE Universal Championship. So if that's the case, I think they gave themselves a couple outs here, which is why they baby-stepped Braun Strowman to get to Brock. If you beat Baron Corbin, you can get to Brock. Meaning, if his elbow is not good to go, they could have him work a safe match and have him lose to Baron Corbin, thereby not having to worry about, you know, advertising a match that he can't perform in. So, makes sense. Smart by WWE to make safe booking when it comes to Braun's elbow. And so, it's interesting. It's an interesting time to be a wrestling fan. It really is. There's so many things you could talk about. It's crazy. And that's why I encourage you guys to, if you want, start your own podcast. I really would. I think it's a great outlet for anybody who is interested in something like this to talk to other people and get their perspective. Everybody's got a unique perspective, unique story, how they started and what they love, what they hate, all of it. But you know what? At the end of the day, whether we bitch about it, love it, or somewhere in between, at the end of the day, we will all still be fans. And we'll all still give our $9.99 a month to the WWE Network. And that's just the way it is. And it's kind of like once it's in your blood, it's in your blood. No matter how embarrassing or terrible things can get, a la the Thanksgiving feast fight. Ugh. So, guys, I want to thank you for joining me. Again, you can catch me every week, multiple times a week, and, of course, on Patreon, ad-free, patreon.com/WWE Podcast, and on Twitter, @TheWWEPodcast, and on Spreaker, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, everywhere that there are podcasts available. So, guys, again, thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure. And, yes, I will talk to you next time.